You're listening to The Morning Drip, South Georgia's number one morning show. For independent voices and liberated perspectives, got a question or comment, you can text the show at 229-234-1307. 229-234-1307.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to The Morning Drip. Today is Thursday, 4th of December. We are in the holiday season, of course. I like Christmas time. And as I've said before, I really like this time of year, especially when it starts in October. I love this entire fourth quarter of the year. As I'm getting older, though, I think I actually prefer Halloween. You know, I kind of went nuts when I was doing the trial runs of the Morning Drip during October. Didn't do any during November. November was just kind of busy, and I was like, you know what? Let me jump in here and do a show today. So I want to welcome you to the Morning Drip. We endeavor to be a morning show that will be streamed on. Right now, we're streaming on WRTO.FM Radio Tift. Probably sometime around the end of January, mid-January to end of January, we will be streaming over at RadioFreeGeorgia.com, unless some things change. Because right now, running WRTO.FM, also known as Radio Tift, costs me money. Now, in the grand scheme of things, it's not a crap ton of money, but it's still a monthly expense that, yes, I do get to write off on my taxes because it's up under an LLC, but there's nothing coming in. Nobody seems to give a crap about the station or the music or anything like that. And quite honestly, unless I can sit here and have live DJs come in and do stuff, which I'm not set up for that, I get it. I get it. You got Spotify, you got Apple Music, hell, you've got YouTube. I'm guilty of that too. I'll have a playlist on YouTube, just fire that sucker and up and let it play in the background while I work. So we'll see. We'll see. The reason why I want to do this show is, quite honestly, I don't think, in my opinion, I don't think the center, left of center voices are really represented in South Georgia. I really don't, because the people down here, and they are some very good people, don't get me wrong. I even forgive those that voted for Trump. What's the, what was it that Jesus said on the cross? They know not what they do. So that's the way I feel when it comes to Trump supporters. They know not what they do when they support this guy. So I approach this from foundation of, well, let me put it this way. I try to approach it from a foundation of humility, being conscientious, being ethical, being moral, and being truthful. Because that's the biggest thing with me. Don't lie to me. Tell me the truth, and I will do the same for you. And so that's the reason why I think that Democratic voices, I hate to use the term liberal because it has such a stink. Oh, you're a leftist. No, I once had a friend who said that on social issues, they were more of a left-leaning democratic ideology. But when it came to fiscal, they were more of a right-leaning conservative viewpoint. And I completely understand that, because there's a lot of people out there that think that just because you identify as a Democrat, you lean a little bit to the left, that you just want open borders. You just want to spend a crap ton of money on non-citizens. You just want to hand out, just give free handouts to everybody, whether that's in, you know, food stamp or SNAP benefits, free health care, you know, all of the, just basically give it all. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You don't have to work. You don't have to work at all. We want to endeavor to create a society like in the movie WALL-E. And that is the furthest thing from the truth. It is the furthest thing from the truth. We don't want our money to just to be spent willy-nilly on bullshit things. Healthcare is not bullshit things. We believe that it is a human right for healthcare. If you are someone who cares about your fellow human, I'm not going to use man because that's, we have women out there too. So if you really care about your neighbor and your neighbor cares about you, then there shouldn't be a contention that we all contribute a little bit so that when we find ourselves in need of assistance when it comes to our health, we don't have to go bankrupt just to survive. We don't have to lose everything to get the medications and the procedures that we may need, only to find ourselves homeless and out on the damn street. This does not make sense. That is what the majority of what you call liberals, these are the things that we care about. We care about the American people. And if you are someone who immigrates here legally, you have a green card, you eventually try to become a citizen, we care about you too. But we're painted in such a broad brush that we're even labeled, get this crap, we're even labeled communists. Just because, I don't know, we don't like to murder fellow human beings out in the ocean in a fishing boat that we have not 100% verified that they're doing anything illegal. Number one, they're in international waters. But number two, there's no verification. There has been no proof, no definitive proof by this government, by the Secretary of War Crimes, Pete Hegseth, that what they are doing is in the best interest of the United States. They call them narco-terrorists. They haven't proven that. They haven't proven it at all. Just because you say something as if it's the truth and you say it over and over and over doesn't mean it's the damn truth. Will people start to believe it? Of course they will. It's psychology. But yeah, before we just arbitrarily start killing people out in international waters because we think that they're bringing in drugs, fentanyl, and everything else into the United States, which has actually been proven false. Fentanyl does not come from Venezuela. The fentanyl that the majority of it that comes into this country comes through Mexico. But are we down there bombing the shit out of Mexico? I hope not. And I hope it never comes to that. But Democrats, to the uneducated, are seen as communists because, you know, we want everybody to have basic human rights of survival. So let me give you a little education on what the difference is between democracy, specifically American or Western democracy, democratic socialism, and communism, but also sometimes considered traditional socialism. So maybe, just maybe, this is where they're getting their wires crossed when they look at someone like a John Ossoff and go, oh, well, he's a communist. So American democracy, there's two big things that are telltale signs of these different ideologies. American or Western democracy. Voting. We always get to vote for our leaders. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have issues in our voting system, not to the extent that this current administration keeps bitching about. There is no rampant fraud. They have never been able to prove it. But again, if you repeat a lie enough times, people will start to believe you. But when it comes to voting, in Western democracy, we always get to vote for our leaders. When it comes to money, we can own our own homes, we can own our own businesses, we make the money, and we get to keep, I'll put this in quotes, most of it. Communism, I'm going to jump over democratic socialism, and I'm going to go straight to the other end of the spectrum. Communism, also known as traditional socialism, when it comes to voting, you do not get to vote for your leaders. The leaders are dictators who stay in power forever, even if it is made to look like a democratic society, aka Russia. They vote. It doesn't matter because, I mean, hell, if I remember correctly, Putin even had their constitution changed so that he didn't have to keep doing this song and dance where he was president versus prime minister or whatever their titles. He kept bouncing back between him and another guy. And then he just basically said, to hell with it, change the Constitution. Now he can stay in power forever. But you do not, I mean, China, you do not get to vote for your leaders. China's probably a better example. Russia is a communist country that tries to act democratic, but they don't do a very good job. Now, when it comes to money in a communist society, the government owns everything, all the big businesses, the farms, etc. They tell you what job to do, and they give you what they think you need. That is communism. Not a single solitary Democrat that I know should ever be considered a communist, because this is not what they believe. Now, democratic socialism, Bernie Sanders, and now Zoran Mamdani as the mayor-elect of New York. When it comes to voting, again, you always get to vote for your leaders. With the caveat, you're always going to have a minuscule amount of issues, but not enough to ever turn an election one way or the other. And when it comes to money, here's what my uneducated, unenlightened friends don't seem to understand when it comes to democratic socialism. They just look at socialism / communism, the traditional forms, and are just, again, I'm going to make what I'm going to make, and they're going to take it from me and give it to Joe Blow over there that's not doing a damn thing. That is not the way democratic socialism works. When it comes to money, you still can own your home, you can still own your business, but you pay higher taxes, and that tax money makes sure that everybody gets things like free health care, free college, good roads, etc. Rising tides raise all boats. That's the idea. We all contribute to this society for the benefit and betterment of each and every one of us. That's democratic socialism, folks. And the main difference between American / Western democracy and democratic socialism is the fact that we do not have any real controls when it comes to capitalism. We basically have uncontrolled capitalism in this country. And there are going to be people that will argue with me on this and say, well, what's the problem? You can make as much money as you can possibly make. If you make $1 billion a year, good for you. If you make $5 billion a year, good for you. If you suddenly are now a trillionaire, well, holy crap, good for you. But the problem with that is it creates an imbalance in the society, in the fiscal well-being of the country. And that's the issue. That is the biggest sticking point right there. And that's not to say that under democratic socialism, you still couldn't make $1 billion, $5 billion, $50 billion, become a trillionaire. The point is, though, that the richer you got, the more of a benefactor you become of the American people. 25% of your wealth goes into the system to provide free health care, free college, and good roads. That just makes our society better overall. But this morning, sometimes I'll randomly tune in to the Valdosta radio station, their Facebook stream with Bill Osborne. He does a morning show. I believe it's from like 6 to 8 or something like that. And I didn't necessarily hear the previous caller, but the one whenever I turned the volume up, because whoever is in charge of the technical side of the audio going out over the stream, you need to do something, because y'all are very, very hot on that Facebook stream. You go to the website and listen to the actual audio stream, it's fine, but the Facebook stream is hot. It needs to be turned down. But some guy on the phone was talking about, you know, the previous caller, the communist or whatever, and blah, blah, blah. And every single time, Marjorie Taylor Greene did the same damn thing when she was, I think, first running for office, and she came through Tifton and somebody was live streaming it. And she stood up there and basically branded all Democrats communists, which is untrue, unfair, unethical, immoral. Because you're lying. You're lying to, I mean, down here, we would not be her constituents. She's in, I forget which district it is, but I mean, she's resigning January 5th, so I don't guess it really freaking matters. Democrats are not communist, no more than the general makeup of the Republican Party are Nazis. And I mean, I'll be the first to tell you, if a Democrat starts acting like a communist, I'll call them a communist. Just like whenever someone on the right starts acting like a Nazi, we call you a Nazi. Don't act like it, and we won't call you the thing that you're acting like. But I'll call them out on both sides. I don't care. I just want truth. I don't want people in need of food to be denied that food. Every system we have is always going to have some little aspect of it that falls through the cracks. Somebody's going to misuse the system. But it's like I was watching, there's a YouTuber who's been YouTubing for almost 20 years now. His name is Philip DeFranco. He does the PDS, the Philip DeFranco show, Monday through Thursday. And he made the comment because there was one particular story he wanted to get into that dealt with SNAP and the 20-something states that are refusing to provide data that's been requested by the Department of Agriculture or USDA or whatever. And they're basically saying, well, we're going to hold your funds. A, they can't. That's illegal. But this regime just doesn't seem to care about the law. But the point that he was making was he had an uncle at Thanksgiving that essentially made this statement, and I think he said he was paraphrasing. The uncle stated that 50% of SNAP is fraud. That is 100% untrue. The majority of people that are actually requesting funds so that they can eat and feed their family are doing it legitimately. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there aren't some people out there trying to scam the system. There most definitely are, but not 50%. I think the last number I saw was like less than 1% or some crap like that. You're always going to have bad actors. There's just no way around it. It's part of life. And it's just like, I believe, to paraphrase, Jesus said, we'll always have the poor, which, by the way, you know, in regular nomenclature, Jesus the Christ. I want to bring you up on a little FYI. If his name, which was Yeshua in Hebrew, was directly translated into English, we would be calling him Joshua, not Jesus. But because it went from Hebrew to Greek to, I think, Latin and then eventually English, that's how we wound up with Jesus. His actual name would be translated into Joshua in English for a direct translation. Just know that. I love these little fun facts. All right. I'm going to take a break, come back. We'll see what else is going on in the world.
The Morning Drip, hotter than your gas station coffee and way less bitter.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Drip. Today is December the 4th, 2025. It's a Thursday. Thank you for joining me. Currently, it's 43 degrees down here in Tifton, Georgia. We're looking at a high of 53 with rain. Overcast skies this morning with rain in the afternoon. Light rain throughout the night. Looking at tomorrow, Friday the 5th, scattered thunderstorms possible throughout the day. Light rain throughout the night. Saturday, overcast skies in the morning with rain in the afternoon. Saturday night, light rain throughout the night. That is the reason why Tifton's Christmas parade, hometown holidays, whatever the heck it's called, was postponed. It was supposed to be this weekend. It has been pushed to the 13th, I believe. And it's funny. It really is funny. The number of comments, even Hayward Fowler on the Fun Channel had to weigh in on all the negative content comments, if I can frickin' speak this morning, on the number of negative comments about people just need to pull up the big boy panties and deal with it and all of this other kind of stuff. You know, it's just a little rain, blah, blah, blah. I swear, people really don't give a crap about safety or other people if it affects them in a negative way. None of us like pain. I mean, I don't, but wow. Send me a text. Let me know what you think. 229-234-1307. 229-234-1307. I do not have the call-in line enabled right now because this was kind of an impromptu thing I decided to do this morning. Looking over some of the news stories here in Georgia, a federal appeals court has revived Georgia's ban on passing out food and drinks to voters in line, ordering a federal district judge to reconsider his 2023 ruling against the ban. This provision, which was part of the state's 2021 election overhaul, had been on hold while a lawsuit worked its way through the courts. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, who's also running for governor, praised the appeals court's decision, saying it reaffirmed the state's ability to protect voters from influence and interference at polling places. Okay, so that means that if we have an unusually warm November, it's 85 degrees, first Tuesday of the month. Sun is baking down on people and the line is 100 deep. You're telling me that the state is concerned that if someone walks down the line, even if it's a voter helper, whatever the hell they're called, walks down the line, is identified as working for the local government, wears a vest, I don't know, hands out water to keep people from getting dehydrated, maybe passing out from heat stroke or whatever, that is influence and interference at the polling place? Are you freaking kidding me? I know exactly the reason why they don't want people, whether it's just the average citizen, Joe Blow next door, decides to be a good citizen. He's already voted, decides that these people are going to be in line for a little bit. Don't want them to get dehydrated. Don't want them to have a medical emergency. So let me give them some water. But instead of that, what the state would rather have you do is when you hit that pain point, you're going to leave. And here's the other thing that they counting on is that those people that would leave, well, they're just those wussy Democrats. That's what they're thinking. Hardened right wingers. They'll stand in line and wait 8 hours so they can cast their vote for a Trump supported MAGA candidate, more than likely. But yeah, those wussy Democrats. Oh, man, they start experiencing a little pain, a little discomfort, get a little dry mouth, a little dehydration. They're out. So then our guy wins. Now, yeah, I'm being a little facetious in that regard, but I wouldn't put it past their train of thought that that's what they're attempting to do. And the critics, I agree with the critics that the ban is discriminatory and it's honestly a violation of free speech rights, asterisks. I'm willing to entertain that. I'm even me, who I firmly believe in free speech. I'm having a little bit of a stretch on how is this. Maybe it's the expression part. I'm expressing myself as a good Samaritan, maybe. And you're violating my right to be able to provide aid and comfort and express myself as a good Samaritan by ensuring that these good fellow citizens in line don't fall the hell out and need medical attention. Is that the free speech angle? I don't know. I'm not getting that one. I think it's a very weak argument that this protects voters from influence and interference in polling places. Now, if the person is walking down the line, handing out a bottle of water and saying, vote for so-and-so, vote for so-and-so. Well, I mean, that's even illegal without handing out the water. You can't go out there and walk down the line. You got to be, I forget what it is, even political candidates, except when they're voting. But anybody, like, you know how they have their little tents and everything where they're trying to get people excited and go vote and all of that. They can't be within a certain distance of the actual voting precinct. So that part's already taken care of. So if you do have someone that's walking down the line, handing out water and saying, vote for so-and-so, vote for so-and-so, kick their asses out of there. I agree. But again, that would be just like someone walking down without handing out the water and saying, vote for so-and-so, vote for so-and-so. Don't penalize the ability of good Samaritans to ensure that people are properly hydrated if they're standing in a long-ass line for several hours out in the baking sun. If they're outside, which a lot of places, I mean, there's only so much room in most of the voting areas. So, yeah, I think this is BS, man. It's BS. What else is going on in the world? I know I came across something. Well, for Georgia, we got a Gulf system that's going to bring, as we already talked about at the top of this segment, 2.5 inches of rain in some areas of the state through Saturday, with low temperatures under freezing, also possible. Walmart, this was announced yesterday, they have opened a $350 million with an M, milk processing facility in Valdosta, Georgia. Unfortunately, Valdosta is the hurricane's play toy a lot of times. They've gotten hit hard at least twice in the last 5 to 8 years. Anyway, so this $350 million milk processing facility in Valdosta is going to create 400 jobs and increases the supply of locally sourced milk for its 650 stores in the Southeast. That's great. That's great. Glad to see new industry coming in, even if it is Walmart. I have a love-hate relationship, or is it a hate-love? I'm not sure, with Walmart. I used to work for Walmart. I worked in a store. I worked in the garden center. Then I worked at the distribution center in Douglas, Georgia. I don't like Walmart. I like their prices. I despise walking into one of their stores, so I do everything I can possibly do to avoid walking into a store. I do grocery pickup, which is one of the best damn things ever invented. Rare occasions I'll have them delivered. I mean, very rare. We did that during COVID, but it's just something about, I still want to go and feel like I took part in getting my own food. I don't know. Maybe my, Maybe my animalistic side of my brain is connecting it to, I went out and hunted and secured the food. I don't know. It's stupid. But I mean, I like to go pick the groceries up. Hey, talking about weather forecast, the long range weather forecast is predicting that Georgia is going to experience a mild, sunny Christmas. No snow. That'll probably hit in January. I don't know. Last year was a fluke, or earlier this year was a fluke. Never in my lifetime had I seen that amount of snow on the ground here in South Georgia for the number of days that it actually stayed on the ground. It was wild. Hey, there was a $1 million Powerball ticket that was sold in Georgia. The jackpot rose to $775 million. They matched the five numbers. So if that was you, the numbers that were matched were 5, 18, 26, 47, 59. They missed the red Powerball of one. Otherwise, that $775 million would have been theirs with a cash out option of $362.5 million. I've changed my tune on if I would take the annuity or if I'd take the lump sum. I've decided, once upon a time, I always thought the annuity was probably the best and safest way because you're doled out a certain amount of money per year for 20 years. I believe it's 20. But problem there, it's my understanding, and if I'm wrong, y'all can correct me, but it's my understanding that, let's say the husband is the one, oh hell, let's say the wife is the one that actually won the lottery. Well, when she dies, that money doesn't automatically start going to the husband. That's my understanding. I could be completely wrong, but every time I've looked this up, that's what it's told me. Of course, there's other issues too. You know, what if in 10 years the lottery system goes belly up? Is that probable, or is it, it's possible but not probable? Highly, highly unlikely. And so, yeah, I've changed my tune. I think I'd rather have the lump sum and let me get with some financial advisors and figure out where we're going to put all this money and invest it and et cetera, et cetera. Because if you win a few $100 million net by the time you pay taxes and everything, that's generational wealth, man. If I were to win $200 or $300 million net, none of my family would ever have to work again. I never cared about the $1 billion ones. Winning $1 billion would scare the teetotal crap out of me. Not to mention, as soon as it became known that I was the one, the level of security that I would have to implement and pay for. It's nuts. So do you play the lottery? That's the question. That is the question. Let me know. Send me a text, 229-234-1307. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a bit.
Back to the morning drip, because shouting at the TV just isn't interactive enough.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to The Morning Drip. It is Thursday, December 4th, 2025. I am Donovan, your host. This is our final segment before we get out of here for the day. A little bit of national news. President Trump announced on Wednesday that he is rolling back fuel economy standards set under the Biden administration, lowering the federal regulatory goal from 50.4 miles per gallon to by 2031 to roughly 34 miles per gallon. They're claiming that this move will save us Americans $109 billion over 5 years. They're pitching it, of course, as a cost-saving reset that could shave $900 to $1,200 off the sticker price of new gas-powered vehicles. Don't expect that. These vehicle prices are not coming down. when the entry level is over $40,000 for a vehicle. Oh my goodness, where have we gone wrong? And before you say it, no, it's not Biden's fault. It's not. Neither was inflation. The inflation problem was COVID. Nobody seems to want to recognize that. Because here's the thing. If Trump had actually won in 2020, and no, it was not rigged, it was not stolen, but if he had actually won, he would have had the same damn problem with inflation. His would have been worse, in my opinion. I believe that the Biden administration weathered that storm well. And the thing you need to understand, when you get inflationary rates of 9 and 10%, you can't snap your damn fingers and suddenly it's back to 2 to 3%. That's just not the way it works. And we will always have inflation. That's the reason why they constantly look at trying to keep it at 2%. Prices, if prices increase by 2% every year, as long as wages increase at least by that much or hopefully more, that's the way the economy works, people. There's no such thing as zero inflation. Now, I know some of you are going to check me. Yes, go back. We did have a few years of zero inflation back in the 20s. We had some deflation. That's something you don't want to see. Anyway, of course, Trump called the Biden era rules unrealistic, said Americans should have more affordable vehicle options that match how people actually drive. I don't disagree with that, but this isn't going to solve that problem. And of course, under Biden, the government required car companies to increase the fuel efficiency of passenger cars and light trucks because they were trying, in part, to stimulate the production and sale of electric vehicles in the U.S., and get us away from gas-fueled cars because climate change, folks.
Oh, it's not real.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Hey, there's a feel-good story about a veteran that raised $1.3 million after he lost his pension. Ed Bambus, 88-year-old Army veteran, Brighton, Michigan. So what happened is we had influencer Samuel Weidenhofer met Bambus while filming Random Acts of Kindness at the store. And I don't know if this is the same guy that I've seen before where he'll just walk in and he'll give people money. He'll see, you know, are they moral and ethical people? I've seen him, again, I don't know if it's the same guy. But there's a guy that will go in and buy like 200 hamburgers or something to go feed the homeless. And a lot of times these companies will give him the food for free or they'll cut the cost because they love what he's doing. So I don't know if it's the same guy or not. But anyway, so he met Bambus while filming Random Acts of Kindness at the store. He heard his story. He posted a video that quickly went viral because the guy was working a full-time grocery store job because he lost his pension. You see, he retired from GM in 1999, and then his pension went the way of the dodo and his benefits after the company went bankrupt, and then he had to go to work to make ends meet after his wife died. Think he can quit now. $1.4 million. Good on everybody that contributed to that. This is something I wish somebody would challenge. Trump says he's terminating all documents that former President Biden signed using an auto pen, including the pardons given to Biden's family and government officials calling them invalid. Here's the problem, folks, and there needs to be some severe pushback on this. A sitting president does not have the constitutional authority to revoke a previous president's pardons. End of story. That has been solidified. It is now precedent way back in the 1800s, if I can remember correctly, by the Supreme Court. You can't do it. But unless somebody challenges him, then everybody's just going to kind of look down at their feet, shuffle a little bit and go, oh, he can't do it. Challenge him. Challenge him. Final fun story. Y'all heard about the raccoon? He got into a liquor store, made a mess, broke open some bottles. They found him in the bathroom, passed out on the floor. Oh, hilarious, man. It's hilarious. That raccoon was living his best life. Living his best life. All right, well, that's where I'm going to wrap it up for today. Thank you for joining me. If you came over live, or I doubt you did because I didn't announce it. It was just an impromptu thing, and I really didn't even prepare, so I was flying by the seat of my pants here. So, maybe not by the end of the year, but I do have on the books to try to start doing this show at least Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning. And again, like I said, I don't know if it's going to stay on WRTO.FM because I don't know if I'm going to keep this going because I have to pay royalties and all this stuff for the music, or it'll become a morning show over at RadioFreeGeorgia.com where we only play royalty-free music, so I don't have to run through a service like Live 365 that my monthly payment help basically goes to the royalties and a little bit of their infrastructure and that kind of thing. So we'll see. Again, I want this. There aren't many liberal voices down here, left of center, however you want to call it, down here in South Georgia. That's what this show is about. We want to have fun. We want to tell the truth. And I'm okay with debate to a point, but you've got to be honest about it. But there's that. Anyway, try to stay dry for the next few days. Remember the Tifton Christmas Parade, hometown holidays, was postponed until the 13th, I believe. Which means none of the vendors can be there because, well, they're going to have to be vendoring somewhere else that weekend. So until then, take care of yourselves. Our text number is 229-234-1307. You can also leave a voicemail by visiting voicecast.app/TMD for the morning drip. voicecast.app/TMD. Visit that on a device, whether it's a tablet or your phone, as long as it has a microphone. Or on the computer, if you got a microphone connected to it. Leave me a voicemail, tell me what you think about the show, any of the topics I talked about, agree, disagree, etc., etc. All right, folks, until next time, I've been Donovan. This has been The Morning Drip for December 4th, 2025. Good morning, everybody.